Hi, friends. My name is Caitlin Eastler, and this is the Happy at Work podcast, nurturing business success through workplace connection and well-being. Join me on this journey as we applaud the forward-thinking people leaders who deeply understand the value and connection between investing in purposeful, people-first cultures and attaining positive business outcomes. By day, I'm the founder and CEO of Happily and mom to Hannah, which is the best job ever. And I've recently taken on the added role of head of culture and software, talent advisory at DSG. Together, we collaborate with people leaders nationwide who are doing amazing things in the new world of work. Happy at Work gives us an opportunity and the extreme pleasure of highlighting this important work, the work of those that are deeply committed to their roles as innovators, passionate leaders, and guardians in creating and protecting exceptional cultures. From championing learning and development to prioritizing employee mental and physical health, social impact, and overall workplace well-being, these leaders make a difference. Stay tuned to hear the lessons learned from these exceptional humans. Thank you for joining us on this journey. We are so glad you're here. Andrea, thank you so much for joining us today. I had the pleasure of meeting you years ago at NTT when you were sitting in a CFO role, and then got to partner with you as you decided to come over to Astreya, which is an incredible IT services, professional services organization. And you've gone from CFO to COO to CEO, which doesn't surprise me at all. And I think what's always differentiated you beyond your huge heart and how much you care about people is that you understand how to see behind the numbers. What makes all of that possible and the work that we do for our clients is the people. So I'd love to share with our community your perspective and your beautiful passion for how you take great care of people. So tell us a little bit about how you came to be that type of leader.
Thanks for having me, Caitlin. Yeah, so I think, you know, when it comes to people, it came from a couple of things. One, I think if I go back to when I was young and being raised very close-knit family, but if I think one person in particular was my grandmother. So she was one of those people that whoever she was with, whatever room she was, you always felt like you were the most important person and you were with her and talking to her. And everybody, that was like kind of a consistent theme that everybody said about her, and really learned, I think, just by watching and observing and also experiencing what it's like to be seen and wanted and heard just as you are, was very powerful for me in terms of gaining confidence at a really young age, and kind of propelled it into a lot of things that I did going forward. And when I think about my career, I was also, you know, a mentor that I met early on that I actually followed all the way, you know, started HP, followed all the way to NTT Data. His name was John McCain. Very astute leader operationally. I learned a ton from him. But just watching him being able to just perform at the highest levels from a business perspective, but the same thing, just always had a connection to people, was down to earth, and people were really drawn to him, was really able to see kind of from a kind of career business aspect of how powerful that focus on people can really add to the success of a business.
Yeah, it's incredible. And I think I'd love for you to share with our community a little more around like how you do that tactically, because I think, you know, at a high level, it sounds like simple. Okay, like take good care of people, but it takes a lot of thought to get to a place where you can actually take great care of people. And every company has a little bit of a different dynamic in terms of what that means to their community. So what have you done to kind of root for the human, as you said earlier? I love that explanation. And think about taking care of people as humans.
Yeah, no, it's definitely interesting, especially because at Astreya, and I'd say most of my career, I've worked in a kind of remote environment. So always worked for very large global companies. And then especially since COVID, that, you know, the hybrid or, you know, working remote has become even more prevalent. Maybe been an advantage that I experienced it so early on, that learning different ways to connect with people, you know, even when I first started doing it, we didn't have video conferencing. So just through dialogue and communication, having to kind of build that trust and collaboration with people is a skill that I had to learn really early. But I think the key is as simple sometimes as I think it sounds, or maybe I feel like it's common sense, is really getting to know the human and the individual that you're working with. I think a lot of times at work, It can be, you can go into a meeting and you immediately go into, we're all really busy just trying to get the operational tasks going, and just starting the call as easily as just asking people how they're doing, asking them about their weekend, just getting it more on a personal level to hear something other than just we're trying to get XYZ tasks done. Again, seems fairly obvious, but I don't know, especially in this kind of high pace, fast pace, a lot of changing in the business, it's really easy to kind of forget that detail. And I actually have to constantly remind myself, because I find when, if I get, you know, too much in operational mode, I can do the same thing. So it's always being very deliberate and conscious that that is the goal when we're trying to get things done, is if we leave the person behind, we're likely not going to achieve that operational goal that we have.
Yeah, it's so funny that you say that, because I mean, we've known each other for a long time, and I jumped into our prep call earlier, just like, bam. And I was like, hold on a second, what am I doing? And I think when we're such efficient people that are trying to get things done and respect people's time, sometimes we speed too fast past the humanness. And I loved how you said during our prep, like, we need to be able to see people as the father, the daughter, the friend, and not just a check the box. It's how you really care about people. And that, you know, has worked for you for a long time in terms of having a win on all sides, right? You create great relationships and trust internally, and you do great work for your clients.
No, I definitely, you know, agree. And I think sometimes when you take that time, and it does mean that, you know, I've showed up into calls, and especially during the pandemic, where you're talking to someone and they showed up and they just found out that a family member passed away from COVID or something.
It's horrible, yeah.
And you admire, you know, I think a lot of people, you could sit and admire, like, oh, that's great that you're, you know, here, and we're just going to move on to the task. And sometimes it's saying, we're going to pause and I'm going to let you go and focus and deal with that, because the operational item will still be here. And it's just those small things of really listening and seeing where that person that you're interacting with is at that point in time. Sometimes pausing and saying it's okay to not have to put on your work hat right now and take care of what you need from a personal level. Not only is it, you know, good for them in general, you know, the kind thing to do, but it really builds trust with people when they see that you're willing to give them that space. And I've actually found that when they do come back, they come back and they're committed and work that much harder because you gave them that space. And it's just really a lot of, like, doing that over and over and over and building that trust with people, I think, with time pays so much dividends. So it's not just about, kindness is very much important, but I guess if you're just thinking operational, I think kindness is also extremely effective to get what you need to get done.
Yeah. I mean, being a good human has so many benefits, right? And besides, it's just the right thing to do. It's good for everybody. It also probably makes people more excited to work with you and with your company when they know that they're treated that beautifully. One of the many things that struck me when we've talked is just, like, the investment that you're making in learning and development. And I think this is important because you're doing it for a lot of reasons. One is, it sounds like you want to give people learning opportunities. But the thing that really stood out to me, in addition to them being great programs, is that you aren't saying to people, we're giving you training, so you have to stay here for your whole life. You're really investing in them. Can you tell us a little more about that thought process, and then some of the programs that you've built out that I know they've been so successful?
That really is probably one of the areas that I've gotten a chance to, you know, work closely with, you know, the founder of Astrea, one of the co-founders still works for Astrea. But it was really about that our goal is to train our people. Obviously, we want everyone trained so that they can deliver great services to our employees, but really create a learning and development program that allows our employees to really explore things even beyond what they may be doing with us today, whether that be in leadership, whether that's in their area of technology, they've come into an entry level position and wanting to learn more about leadership or a different, completely different area, you know, usually technology based, than they're currently working in at that particular time. Because the point is, we see ourselves as a, you know, point along the journey of someone's career. And if we can have employees who come in and through our learning and development programs really think maybe bigger and believe more in their potential than they did when they first came to us, that's one of the most rewarding things, at least for me personally, as a leader, is that you really made a difference, not only while they were with the company, but really gave them
served as a launching pad for something even greater than they maybe even believed in for themselves when they first came in. And so if at any point along that journey, we realize if they're on that path, maybe that they reach a point where it's time for them to leave or, you know, really launch, right? They're leaving us because they're going on to something better. And we tell our employees when that happens, we're there rooting for them. And we're very, very excited. We don't see it as something, you know, obviously great employees. You're always, it's mixed feelings. You're sad to see them go, but you're even more excited for them and what they're going to accomplish going forward.
That's such a refreshing perspective and not one I think that most companies have. So it really stands out. And as we were talking about some of the programs, I mean, can you tell the community a little bit about like the certifications and the different programs you've leveraged and built? Because it's not like you're just saying, here's a one-stop shop, here's all we have. Like you've really gone a little bit deeper and then maybe into a little bit of the cohorts on the soft skills too, which I think is fantastic.
Yeah, so we've definitely leveraged platforms like LinkedIn Learning. Coursera was one that we did in very close partnership with one of our largest clients. So it's always great, also helps when you have a client and partner base that has similar values with regards to learning. We also leveraged a learning plan for called Udemy. So they all provide different journeys or ways to provide that learning development path. So we've invested in a learning development team that kind of puts together curriculums as well as works with individual employees based off of, you know, what they might be interested in and gives them different options. And then even internally and organically, we began what we call a lead program. So it really is open to anybody who is not either an early manager or not even a manager yet. And it really brings them into a cohort where they learn about leadership skills, presentation skills, personality. You know, they get their own kind of personality type, like the Myers-Briggs. So they kind of understand how they learn, how they communicate. So kind of those softer, you know, not just pure technical skills that allow them to get comfortable and about presenting or key things that they'll need along their career. And we also do in each of those coffee talks with either my executive team or myself, and they get to hear about each of our journeys. And what I think I like is a lot of them realize that even it's easy to look at a leader once kind of they're at a certain place and assume they were kind of always there, always able to perform at that level. And they recognize by hearing these journeys and these stories that everybody started somewhere. And really, it is truly a journey that you can be part of. And if you just kind of take it a step at a time. And so it's really not like it's not attainable for just only the few. Everybody is possible if you're willing to invest in yourself and really have the courage to want to pursue that. And that's what we hope that these programs help a lot of our employees see, is that, you know, those who they may look up to or see at higher levels, they all started somewhere. And they're just earlier in that journey, but it's still very much tenable for them.
Yeah, and you're investing in that journey. And I think there's so many beautiful elements of what you shared. And one that I'll just call out is, you know, you're doing these trainings, you're not outsourcing all of this to another third party. And I think that also allows your team members to see you as human and as accessible, which I think, again, allows people to do better work when they feel that connectivity. So that's really maybe a secondary benefit to the way that you're handling it. And you talked about how you give a lot of credit to your leadership team because they want to be part of this. And so you're not asking them to do it because they have to, because they're a leader. They're doing it because they really want to and they care. And I'll parlay that into our conversation about DEI, because I think you guys have done some really innovative things there with the same spirit. Can you tell us a little bit about what programs you created to really help people feel part of something and seen, and how that's worked for you?
Yes, no, I think that's a great example. And I absolutely agree with you that it's, and that's what I've been really proud of too, is that we really have, I have an executive leadership team that it would be, I guess you could say, easier for us to outsource it and just have an employees take the courses. But this really is something that we've taken ownership as a team. My head of people, she is, you know, very passionate about those teams as well as the E&I. And really when we came together and we said, you know, we really want to do more around DE&I, we made the commitment that if we weren't going to be 100% committed, it needed to be more than just the type, you know, check the box to say, yeah, DE&I, some nice things. But what did we really want to do so that we could create connections? We also chose to do it in a year last year, right? So it's very, a lot of economic uncertainty. So in terms of having a huge budget to get it started, that wasn't really an option for us at that point. But we still said, regardless, you know, you don't need a huge budget to get started. It's really saying, you know, how do we bring this and build it organically? And so what they came up with, which I thought was very creative, is we had monthly, so every month we were celebrating one topic. So whether it's Black History Month, we had a neurodiversity session, and so Pride Month, and they came up with creative different ways. Someone might have been showing an animated movie and then having a dialogue. We did like a drag queen bingo, but things like an activity that would bring employees together. And then we would look for volunteers of whatever, you know, topic we were discussing, who would want to discuss their stories and bring their personal stories to the broader employee base, which we always really think, and I'm always impressed by those who have the courage to kind of share their stories. Some stories are harder than others, but their willingness to do that and do that over and over again. You start off and maybe people were more hesitant at the beginning, but they realized that really everybody who was joining was there because they truly wanted to support and learn and understand, really has given, kind of fed more and more people wanting to get involved. And like I said, the having your own leaders. So I would say every single topic that we've had, there's probably been someone, either my direct executive team or one of our, you know, VP and above leaders, who somehow related to those topics and were willing to share their own stories. So it really brought in everybody kind of to a very human level where titles really weren't part of the discussion. It was really their own personal stories of how that brought them to them. And it's, you know, what that particular topic meant to them or what they've experienced. So it's really been, it was a creative way for the team to get it started. I think it's really played dividends. We did a video at our all hands last year, just kind of showing, doing a clip of everything that we did. And it was really amazing to see that just starting somewhere has really paid off for us. And we're really excited to build upon that this year.
I love it. And I think there are two really important takeaways that I'll just put in boldface that you shared. So economics can't be the reason we don't start things. There are a lot of things we can do internally that don't require financial investment, but require people caring to do that work. And I think secondarily, as you think about what you've been able to create, I know other companies that have tried the same and not had the same level of warmth and participation, but I think that you have this foundation where you have always put people first and thinking about people and taking care of people, where this didn't feel new and refresh and just like something you were doing because you needed to for DEI. It's just an extension of the investments and care that you put into your team long term. So it's really beautiful how that came to life.
No, I agree. I've been really pleased. The other thing that I would think that has helped me is you can, and I've become more aware of it as, I guess my level of responsibility has increased, because the greater scope you can, there's a lot of times you could say, I'm just too busy, right?
Always.
I can definitely show my calendar. So these are all the reasons why I can't. So it's saying if you don't, you know, how do you keep it a priority and keep it top of mind? Because certain days I would even admit for myself, it's really hard. And so that's why it's always been important to me as well, that the team that surrounds me also has that same value and commitment, because not only do they support me so you feel like you have other people working with you, but they also hold me accountable. There are times where, you know, we can all have it where it's just, this is what we're going to do, this is what's going to be operational, and leaders who you've built enough trust with that they feel comfortable saying, I think we're forgetting this piece, or we need to pause a little bit because have we thought about the people in this equation? Even as much as you want to have it, is making sure that you have kind of an ecosystem around you that keeps you accountable, because especially in this fast-paced world, it's really, really easy to kind of get into autopilot and forget. And so it's somewhat fortunate because we are a people business and people are our product. So I take that very seriously as, you know, a CEO of our organization, that is my responsibility. But even so, especially when you're remote and you're not seeing the faces necessarily day to day, that you have those constant reminders of remember why you're doing this, remember who you're leading, and always keep that top of mind.
You are an exceptional leader. I know that the team at Astraea is so lucky to have you. Thank you for sharing these incredible insights. Before I let you go, because you know my passion for wellness, what do you do outside of work to take care of yourself so that you can show up so beautifully and with such a big heart and so much empathy in your leadership style?
I think one of the things that I've started in the past year or so is having a really clear morning routine. It's not always perfect, but I try. So it includes getting some exercise. So I tend to be an overthinker. One of the things I worked on with the coach is the goal is to slow down. So getting up and moving myself just gets some of that energy out right at the beginning of the day. And then I usually like to listen to a podcast, something that's learning, usually people oriented, leadership oriented. I'll listen to that and try and get out on a walk when I'm home on the beach for at least, even if it's just for 10 to 15 minutes,
right,
just to keep things kind of get centered for the day.
Yeah. And I love all that you've shared today. And I know that our community is going to get so much out of this. One other nugget on what you just said that I want to make sure we double tap on because it's so important is, you know, you're in, you know, a very high level part of your career doing awesome things, and you are always striving to be better. The fact that you make space for exercise and for podcasts, right, that are oriented toward the kind of leader you want to show up to be, like, that's, you know, incredible and probably part of why you're so successful. So thank you so much for sharing your time. Thank you for your friendship and congratulations.
Thank you. And thank you for having me.
Thank you.